Got it.
My only obligation to that.
Right.
So we got to go back home, right?
Yeah,
go
to work. Copy.
Yeah, go home and work from home today.
All right. Can you join that meeting and try and get configured?
Yeah, I'll find that in a minute here.
I just texted it to you.
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We probably should have rehearsed this yesterday in hindsight.
Yeah, I joined a lot of Zoom meetings. Not sure. I'm joining in a minute here. Okay. I'm going to see if I can forward this off to Bob and some others.
Okay. Yep.
Recording in progress.
All right, I'm in. All right. I'm hanging up.
All right, one step at a time.
Yeah.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm sorry, I was not able to speak. So today we're going to have to hey, Richard and Chad, I'll look one more time.
So you're the speaker.
He is in Orlando.
That's right. That's right. I forgot. He's taking votes on you don't know. Depends on the day. I looked at said, I don't think any of the young guys that were last time you were not here. So, my kids aren't up.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's nice.
We have at least two guests, Chad and his dad, Richard. Did I get that right?
I'm a follow-up. You follow up. He's the new one.
I'm the new one.
You're the new one.
Okay.
And there are name tags and stickers and sign-up sheet going around. So I am not Kevin.
Notice.
Kevin is younger and lighter than me. Maybe someday he'll be older and heavier. We all get to know each other that long. But Kevin is traveling and is on the Zoom. So we can just make fun of him and there's nothing he can do about it. It's wonderful to have people gathered together for fellowship. And many of you came to the dinner and we had you and oftentimes your sons and occasionally sons and grandsons. It was really a great night. And once again, Steve and Bobby have gone out of their way to make us comfortable here with food. So let's just take a minute and give thanks and then we'll eat. Dear Father, thank you for providing us exactly what we need each day. Thank you for meeting us where we are, for being the perfect Father and helping us appreciate the love that flows from you through the people around us. Help us see more of you and them. Thank you for filling in the gaps between us and our circumstances every day. Thank you for these men this morning and for men sharing their stories and how you are working in them, on them, and with them to be closer to you. In thy name, amen.
Amen.
So I'm going to try your friends.
Now,
there's a marker going around. Name tags and those are the back of the
yeah.
In the back of this line.
Speaking of a word.
I'm going to make you the host, Kevin, co-host, and you'll be able to let people in.
Can you hear me? Oh, I cannot hear you. Uh-oh.
Yeah, I was on mute, so that would be a privilege, Eric.
We can kind of hear you. Your audio is breaking up pretty bad.
What about now? There's Bob. Yes, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning to you, Mr. Reliable and Consistent.
It's like every part of every word. Bob, can you hear us?
I can just barely hear you. Yep.
It's the audio in the room. I'm not sure what to do about that.
There, I just turned my volume all the way up, and it's okay.
I hear Bob loud and clear.
And I can hear you, Gavin, nice and clear, too.
That's wonderful.
Although I'm a little out of sorts. There's no bacon today.
All right, how about now? Can you hear me?
Morning, Jim.
Good morning. It was a little faint, Eric, but I still heard you clear.
How about now?
Really well said. It was a little faint, almost as if you were away from the mic.
A little faded, but it's certainly legible or easy to understand.
Okay, so it is the audio in the room.
I'm trying to switch it one more time.
Oh, there you go.
Whatever you just did improved dramatically.
Okay.
There we go.
Yeah, that's good.
The room cannot hear you, but I can hear you just fine off of the laptop. So, Kevin, I'm not sure how to make it. I'll try it one more time.
You are loud right. And clear. And I see David. And hey, good morning, David.
It's too broken up for anybody to understand you.
You need a sticker.
Maybe if I'm you sorry. Could just give the no understand with all the dynamics and technology in that room. I'm not sure. We will might need an exorcism in that room for technology.
Yeah. I can have you talk into my ear and I can say what you say. I can try putting the laptop up by the microphone and go an analog route. So give me, but then the camera won't read.
Eric, whatever you think is best. I mean, the announcements as are, I think you've hit on the dinner, right? There's the patriotic concert, continuing the series. So July 13th is when we're going to meet again. We have the first Thursday of the month in August. So that should just go back into the routine. And then I'll solve, hopefully, with a lot of praying, technology.
Yeah. I can't think of a way to make you loud enough in the room right this minute.
Yeah, totally. So if you could give the intro for Kurt also. Remember that? Did you hear me there?
Yeah,
I thought I would be able to do that.
Maybe I have an idea. We won't use the camera. We'll use the what's here, and I'll put the lap Let me just try one little thing here. We're going to switch to. FaceTime camera. Okay. And then we're going to unplug. That. We're going to take this.
Hey, Bob.
Yes, sir.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Hips are hurting a little, but not other than that, no complaints.
Okay, we're coming up to the lake on Saturday.
Oh, you are? Okay. Oh, yeah. we got some nice warm Georgia weather for you.
Can you guys hear that?
Yeah, I saw that.
All right, Kevin, I have a plan.
All right, Eric. Yeah, yes, sir.
So when it's time to talk, we'll just hold the mic here and they can see you on the screen.
Whatever you think.
We're going analog.
Problem solving in the moment. I love it.
That's assuming we've got something important to say.
And Kevin, I'm going to make you a co-host so you can let people in.
I like it. I'm not right, sure.
I'm going to grab some food here while.
Okay.
Little Tom is all right. Be right back.
Isn't technology wonderful?
You know what, though, Bob? I use Teams virtually 99%, and the other 1% was Zoom. So I can't say I'm as versed and as familiar with the settings and the nuances.
Mm-hmm.
So Zoom kind of it puts a wrinkle into me accessing, hosting. So is what it is.
You got more knowledge than I do about it. That's for sure. Yep, okay. At least the letter came. I think did you just send something this morning about the Zoom link?
I did. I had intentions. Yeah, because what? Just to share with you, Bob, we've been using Eric's link for many years, and what I talked to Jason Scott. And he's a pastor on staff for the youth ministry.
Yep.
And I asked him, I'm like, hey, can we just develop our own Zoom link that we could use in men's ministry? And he's like, yeah, great idea. Let's go do that. And you're going to be assigned and approved as a host. So I said, great. So that was the link I was going to use, but I was somehow, I don't know if it's what I copied in the link of either how I'm approved or not approved, something goofy happened. So the link, which I sent in the original email, was unsuccessful. So we reverted back to Eric's.
It was a big long, and there was a lot of gibberish in there. And I thought, well, okay, I click on that and see what happens. And then all of a sudden yours came through with Eric's, and like, okay, that one looks familiar. And
yeah. 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 So that's in my development plan.
Eventually it will all be ironed out and you'll be good to go.
Yes.
Ooh, it got quiet.
It did. Yeah. Yeah, it's always an interesting perspective on this side of the camera.
Yeah, because you're usually at the meeting, so.
Yeah, yeah, interacting, you know.
Are you out traveling then, or?
I am. So I'm in Orlando. This is a planned meeting that my business set up. We have a lot of customers here, so I'm actually traveling back home later this afternoon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Almost. Almost made it.
Yeah. Almost.
We waited there as long to see if anybody had it in my back.
I was up there. Yeah, it's like a month on back.
Yeah.
That is retired. Or just different. So we have to have a certain master. So are you okay on going to use that this way?
Kevin, do you want to do announcements before Kurt? You introduce Kurt. Jim is here and wants to do one on the comments.
Sounds good to me.
You want to start now? You want to give him a few more minutes?
I'm not sure the dynamics in the room, but yeah, given the time, 7:12, it seems appropriate. So if you think that's okay, Eric, yeah, that sounds great.
Okay, let's give him a few more minutes. I'll turn the thing around so you can see what's going on.
Okay.
Well, Kevin, don't do anything wrong because you're front and center, and the meeting is a meeting is about that big over in the corner. So,
yeah, what did Eric do to set that up? Great question. Let's see if I did that.
I can see it off to the right, just a little. Hey, there we go. Hey, look at all those people. I'm going to go grab my last cup of coffee here.
Sounds good, Bob.
That's over here. That was the name of our class. Glad we turned so I walked in on the class. I was like, I had to leave the leg and send a friend. She didn't visit for the weekend home. They closed in the morning. We're in bad shape. So I had to take over for Lester one.
Sounds like a lot of the world's problems are being solved in there.
For sure.
Well, gosh, you know, we used to go to
Bob, you got any vacation plans this summer? What do you got going?
Well, my wife is leaving Saturday morning for Germany for 4 weeks with 12 exchange students. So I've got kind of a bachelor's pad here for 4 weeks. And then in July, late July, I'm supposed to go to Gilmore Car Museum with a 1956 Bel Air sedan that I've been restoring. I bought from Jim, cousin Jim. That's pretty much it. There's about 3 days. I go to the show the car, get it judged, probably have an ulcer, and come home. We came down to Georgia to get it and see Thanksgiving weekend of 2019. And next year, COVID hit. So if we had waited until next year, we wouldn't have been able to go get it. And been working on it ever since. So that's it. I'm 99% done with the car. So I'm just about ready.
That's awesome. You have to send me a picture.
It's been fun. Frustrating and fun, but that's what I do. I'm a mechanic, so, you know.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And there's no electronics on it.
Simple. Come on. There's going to be some radio or something.
No radio. It's a delete plate. Never had one.
Interesting.
Back in the day, that, you know, that was extra. You paid probably another $5 for that radio or something like that.
Yeah.
It is as stock as I can possibly get it. So
that's neat.
That's my whole vacation in 2-3 days.
Perfect. I'm going to admit.
Oh, Eric's back.
Yeah, we'll get this thing cranking, Eric.
Okay. Can you guys hear? We're gonna try and get started here for a minute. We've had some opportunity to be creative this morning with our technology. I think Kevin's going to write a book about how many ways to host a men's breakfast in the same room. At least we do it always in the same room, but the circumstances are often different. We're going to do announcements first, if that's okay, Kevin. And then Kevin's going to introduce our speaker. So I'm sorry, Jim, I caught you just as you stood up with your plate. We will get an update on the commons, but while he's doing that, the next men's breakfast is not the week of July 4th. It's the following week. That is the 13th, July 13th. The patriotic concerts are between now and then. They are they're always the last Friday and Sunday of June. Does anybody know those dates? I believe it's the 23rd and the 25th, but I got up here without my notes and therefore I'm doing something from memory. 23rd and 25th. Thank you, Richard. Richard was trying to get around a sign-in sheet. And if you didn't get a name tag and you would like a name today, there are some name tags that have materialized. So Jim, will you mind coming up and telling us a little bit about what's going on? There is some dirt. There's plenty of dirt. If we take a shovel home, is that a good thing?
We'll be short then.
Good morning, men.
Morning.
We have dirt, and the dirt's been moved around. If you've been watching it at all, we take the same dirt, we move it from one side to the other side, and then the next week we move it back. But no, there's a lot to it. Most of the big stuff is done. And you, if you were watching or paying attention at all, of course, the scout hut is down. And then the pavilion was moved from one side to the other. And it was like watching paint dry because the truck pulled it across at half a mile an hour. So it wasn't anything you could stand there and watch unless you had 2 hours. But anyway, it was very, very interesting to see. And then they bury the big pipes, which you saw those 7-foot diameter metal pipes. That's the water, stormwater handling pipe work in there. And you'll just notice if you go out there today, you'll see the new banners, which we've been trying to get up for some time. Now they're up. You'll see them on all four sides, and they portray the view you'll see looking in right in that area. So now you'll get a better feeling. Well, in the last couple of weeks, we have been training representatives from each group, Sunday school classes, small groups, to be able to make the presentation about the Commons, because the fundraising will start again. Now, we had a break in the fundraising for a regular pledging period of time, which is October, November, December. And then we have the plan for Easter. So we had breaks. We had our primary right after the first of the year, and now we're back into it again. We have, I've told you before, we raised over half the money that we needed to have. We needed $2.2 million. We raised $1.3 about, and that was pledges and cash received. We want to finish it this year. It will be finished. It's on schedule, as a matter of fact. Still planning, unless we have bad weather, about the middle of August. So we're over half done in it right now. So we're rolling right along. But we're hoping we can raise 900 and change to be able to pay it off this year. That's the plan, so we won't have any debt being carried. So next time we meet, I'll have a presentation for you. So, several of you have seen it. I know we put together a PowerPoint. There's also a video being made, and you'll probably see that in your other small groups, but you got to put up with me as the representative of the men's group, and I'll present that here. So that's the latest and the greatest. Thank you. We appreciate your support.
So we're going to try a bit of audio engineering going back to World War II, where you take a microphone and you stick it next to a speaker and acoustic coupling. We're going to call that acoustic coupling. If there are any engineers in the room, hopefully that's my idea of humor early in the day. So many of you made it to the men's dinner earlier. I guess that was last month. It's now June 1st. Welcome to June. I am and so proud of all that took place for that room to be full, and for it to be full not only of incredible food, but of fellowship. And there were moments where I felt men closer together and closer to God. And we have a recording of that. It's now on the podcast. I believe Kevin sent it out with one of the communications. I haven't listened to it to see how well we managed to recover the sound. But if you weren't there and you know somebody who wanted to be there, couldn't be there, whatever, watch it with them, because the audio is not going to be so great that you it's best experienced with somebody. So think about that as kind of your outreach opportunity to take that recording and share it with a family member, a neighbor, but just maybe not the whole thing, maybe some part of it. There will be other men's activities, but our next community activity will be co-ed. That's co-ed. That means boys and girls, for those of you who have been out of high school more than 15 minutes. And will be a blitz through the Bible. And we're still looking for the date. We're trying to do that after the Commons is finished and before Thanksgiving. So somewhere between those two events will be a blitz through the Bible. And that is about a 2.5-3 hour run through the Bible. And it's for three groups of people who have really studied the Bible and would like to see how in the world can you give the Bible reasonable treatment in just 3 hours. people who would like a chance to reboot their Bible activities and just kind of looking for a kickstart, and for folks who've heard about the Bible and would like to know what all the fuss is. Now, that's three pretty big separations of groups. And I got to go to this last year, and it blew my mind. And it was technology folks. That was kind of the theme where we're planning to do it for Roswell. It will not just be RUMC. And so we look forward to another event in the fall, once again, between the Commons being finished and Thanksgiving kicking in. So, Kevin, I am going to try to do acoustic, what we call acoustic coupling, to see if they can hear you. So try and speak, and let's see if this will work.
Yeah, hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I certainly wish I could be there this morning. I'm over in the Sunshine State, so professional duties, obligations, and stuff to move those around when it involves a couple hundred people. So, Eric, again, appreciate the connections that you're making out there. How am I coming in? Okay.
I can hear you. Can you guys hear you? Okay. It's working. I just have to stand here.
Certainly echo everything Eric said about the men's dinner. There was so much going on with that. I was just so energized with that meeting, and it was awesome to connect with you, with others, and I was able to share that with others. I've heard the recording. I think it's very good, but definitely echo what Eric said. Well, I want to go ahead and introduce Kurt. And Kurt and I, we've been friends for a long time. And here we go. So Kurt Davis is a principal IT analyst, technology administrator at the Atlanta Regional Commission with 28 years of experience working in information forecasting and information technology. Kurt currently specializes in systems engineering and cybersecurity. Kurt works along the chief information technology officer and the deputy to develop and implement information technology systems, strategy, and responsibility for engineering operation, education, and support across a variety of agency IT, OT systems. Kurt is a native of Georgia, has grown up in the Stockbridge, McDonough area of Henry County, holds a BS of Environmental Development from Southern Polytech State University in Marietta, as well as a MS in Information Systems Management from Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia. He currently holds various certifications from Microsoft, Cisco. There's others. Kurt resides in Milton with his wife, Allison. In his free time, Kurt likes to cook, tinker in the garage, and take on do-it-yourself projects and read. He's an avid Corvette fan and always is willing to talk about the nuances of bourbon. And I'm sure Kurt can share some of the trips around that bourbon and going to Kentucky. Personally, Kurt and I like to go golfing. We are golf partners when it comes to the RUMC Foundation event. Kurt, as you also might recognize, routinely helps with the technology connections and streaming when I'm up there setting up each men's breakfast. Kurt just has a tenacity and patience to work with me and to help me with technology. So Kurt, I wish I was there in person with you this morning, but I'm so looking forward to hearing from you right now. Let's hear it for Kurt. Did you hear me?
Yep.
Thank you.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you today, this early Thursday, to share a great meal and gathering what has always been an excellent discussion about our faith walk as men. Kevin had asked some time back that I'd be willing to speak, and though we had a couple of shifts to the schedule, I'm thrilled to finally be able to share with you today, though it will be assuredly difficult to follow that inspiring talk that Matt gave last month at the steak dinner. No pressure. In the intro, you heard a few details about who I am. That's the 1 minute version of my identity. But if that's all you received, you might not know much about me or my faith walk. I recall at one of these breakfasts some years ago, the speaker saying, regardless of how insignificant your journey may sound to you personally, it resonates with someone. So talk about it without reservation. That's one of the focuses of this group and one of the main ways we build each other up. So while I had originally considered focusing on another topic, today, the aim of my talk is to give you the bigger picture of myself and the events of my faith journey. Exodus tells us the journey of the Israelites that they took to reach the Promised Land, a journey filled with miracles, a journey which could have been as short as 2 weeks. Instead, you know how the story goes. It takes 40 years because God saw they weren't ready for all he had promised. So the Israelites wandered and wandered and wandered some more. Those 40 years wandering fostered a discovery of God's intention for them as a nation and a people, not because he wasn't capable of doing it in a shorter time frame. We know he is. And goodness knows he demonstrated providential power and patience continuously, even as they grew in number. Rather, the Israelites wandered because they disobeyed and created their own stumbling blocks to true faith and a relationship with the one true God. May I suggest the story is there not just as a historical study, but also as a window into that of our own behavior. In each of us, there is an element of a personal wilderness wandering and a long journey of discovering God's true personal intention for us. In the modern world, I suspect more people than not expect their faith walk to be the near instantaneous and remarkable experience like Paul's conversion from Saul, though that was certainly not without a huge serving of humbling fear. In reality, most of our walks are, for good reason, the long journey and are filled with people who plant seeds, guide us, and ask God to reach into our hearts, much in the way Moses petitioned God on behalf of his people. My own journey was a similar wandering. My formative childhood was spent in the Stockbridge-McDonough area of Henry County. Back then, the county had less than 100,000 people, so it was a small space to grow up. In the late 70s, my parents had built a home on 4 acres that backed up to Big Cotton Indian Creek in view of what had been Miller's Grist Mill and Lumber Sawmill. Our property provided ample space for me to be with nature, and the defunct mills provided enticing opportunities for exploration, while also envisioning what the site would have been like in its operating days. In every respect, it was an awesome place to call home for 20 plus years. When it came to my parents, I always thought I'd won the lottery. Dad, a project manager for electrical contractors, and Mom, a dental hygienist, were always present and clearly working to ensure every need was met. My sister and I were well-disciplined, but we were happy and love was always demonstrated. As with most couples, my parents' marriage was not perfect, but they also made it abundantly clear that they were in it for the long haul and would take strides to attend a marriage enrichment conference at least once a year. This was a lesson that would not be lost on me. As a family, we attended a small Baptist church in McDonough, full of many historical families of Henry County. It was, as you might suspect, a place where conviction, fire, and brimstone were frequent sermons. It is also where I would come to my profession of faith in Jesus. At age 10, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior in an experience that for me was no less moving than the Holy Spirit descending on the disciples. I felt the presence and an enormous peace come over me. I walked to the front of the church to proclaim my newfound faith. I was terrified of the public profession, but the inner peace held me to my acceptance. 2 weeks later, I was publicly baptized and the church provided me my first adult Bible. However, nothing else in my life changed. Later, I would participate in the youth program at the same church, which was led by the Reverend Dan McCain. Dan would become the best picture of servant leader I have ever witnessed and the person I most attribute to Christ-like behavior. It was Dan who would tirelessly plant seeds in the group of youth, about 60 large, and it would be Dan who would be available to anyone, anytime, operating as a personal reverential rideshare to ensure youth made it to church, off-site group activities, and back home safely every week. This ride time gave Dan the ability to get to know the kids and witness to them and their personal circumstance, just as Jesus was known to do. Because both of my parents worked, Dan would pick me and my sister up often. His witness was shaping me, but I still didn't display it externally. Upon graduating high school, I attended Southern Poly in Marietta and initially focused on architecture. At the time, Southern was still affiliated to some degree with Georgia Tech. They often shared classrooms and programs, so the experience on campus was not unlike that you would get downtown at the larger campus. On campus, I attempted to join the Baptist Student Union for a few meetings and found the meetings less thrilling than the social activities that were otherwise available. A good many of these gatherings, my roommate and I hosted, and our room was complete with the beer can pyramid as evidence. I would graduate from Southern Poly School of Architecture with a degree in environmental development and join the Atlanta Regional Commission conducting transportation forecasting analysis, which I would do for 14 years before later transitioning into information technology. Around my junior year of college, I had met the woman who would become my first wife. While we both worked at an office supply store, Dan McKay, my former youth minister, would officiate our wedding. The first 5 years of the marriage were, in retrospect, good. However, as more time passed, it became apparent that our marriage would be a severe struggle. There was a history of mental illness in her family and a host of family dysfunction, which carried over into our marriage. I would later come to understand that she exhibited bipolar disorder. Compounding this condition, it was not uncommon for her to consume a full bottle of wine every night to numb the emotions she held in. In 2003, during a particularly challenging and dark part of these occurrences, coupled with a series of financial strains, I heard what I attribute to be the voice of Satan say to me, "You are worth more dead than alive." It would be the first time in many years that I seriously petitioned Jesus as I hit my knees. What I heard in response to my prayer was, "You don't even know your worth." And as I opened my Bible, I came upon Romans 5:3-5. "Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us." And we have just recently rehashed that in our radical mentoring program. 2 weeks later, I met Dave Ramsey and learned in many ways how his story of the thought of worth had echoed mine. I would go on to lead financial peace with him 7 times, encompassing 60 plus families. In the span of those classes, nearly $1 million in debt was paid off and approximately $700,000 saved across the 13 weeks each of those classes ran. Dave even featured me and a co-leader on his television show as we destroyed 61 credit cards from the class with electric hedge trimmers. I promise you, God can take despair and convert it to gratitude if you're willing. Around 2008, I reconnected with an acquaintance of kindergarten through high school via Facebook, Allison Miller Troiani. Yes, Miller, the same family that operated the mills near my childhood home. Allison's husband, Joe, was vice president of the Benelli Company, and they'd recently done a television show in Mazatlan, Mexico with Tom Knapp, the company's professional competition shooter.
And if you've never watched Tom Knapp, as long he's deceased now, but if you go back and YouTube him, it's impressive what he could do. Allison was in town from Maryland and wanted to be sure I got a chance to see the video and wanted to meet my wife, Danielle. We met at a Starbucks where I watched the video on laptop while Danielle and Allison talked. When we departed, Danielle asked if I'd ever dated Allison. I told her no, that we ran in completely different circles and that the thought wouldn't have crossed either of our minds. She responded, "Well, you should have." I don't know how any of you would handle such a message, but it absolutely shook me, and I spent several days attempting to resolve the comment. My marriage to Danielle would end in October of 2010 when she confessed that she was in a relationship with her then boss. I had stood by her vows for everything else, but infidelity was the last straw. There was at once a series of sadness, a bit of relief that the struggle of the marriage was over, and that we did not have children who were impacted. The divorce was final in 39 days and as amicable as could be under the circumstances. One point of contention was our mortgage. Danielle wanted to keep the house and agreed to proceed with doing what was necessary to legally assume the entirety herself. The bank estimated the process to take 90 days. They would miss that margin or miss that estimate by a large margin. Short time later, the grade school acquaintance, Allison, reached out to let me know that her own marriage was ending. Joe had been fired from Benelli, and that she too was letting everyone know, including her own family, who had no ideas what was happening, but her marriage involved bipolar disorder, alcoholism, and a loss of trust as well. She had moved back to Atlanta in June of that year, but she had just recently made the decision to file. We talked about our—
Okay, I found this on the web for Series of Sadness in a bit of relief that the struggle of the marriage was over.
Thank you, Siri. We talked about our experiences and the frightening prospect of starting over, not yet realizing that God had other plans. It wasn't until several months into those talks that we realized we really did enjoy each other's company and cautiously discussed whether our friendship had the potential for something more than our previous shared experiences. We prayed deeply for discernment. Allison's first husband took his own life 2 days after signing the final divorce papers. At once, the reality changed for Allison, Graham, and Elise. In an instant, I became a point of solace for her and the kids and spent as much time taking them out for activities and working through the grief they were experiencing. Allison and I married in September of 2012, and the role that I serve as her husband and stepfather to Graham and Elise is not one which I take lightly. Graham was 12, Elise 10 at the time of her marriage. Graham is now married, living in Orlando, is about to transition to a job with Disney doing sound engineering. Maybe we could do audio coupling with him. He'll be working at the Magic Kingdom Park. Elise is a senior at University of North Georgia with hopes of becoming a physical therapist. I now believe that when Danielle told me I should date Allison, it was a message from God through her preparing me for what was to come. Another piece of evidence demonstrating God's timing was that around the time of our marriage, Citibank notified me that I was no longer on the mortgage involving the former house. The 19-month delay had purposely kept me from buying any other property so that I would be ready for my time with Allison. In 2014, I was invited to join a Saturday morning Bible study breakfast group that had started in our neighborhood a few years prior. The Waterside Bible group is not unlike this ministry in that we meet to build our faith beyond traditional worship. Each week, this diverse group of men and denominational backgrounds takes turns leading deep study in a topic or book of focus, and we hold each other accountable through debate and prayer. The group some years back affectionately nicknamed me Curticus the Hittite. They used that nickname for 2 years before realizing that God's command to the Israelites to drive out the inhabitants of the promised land included Hittites. Their response to this discovery? Well, clearly one escaped. So the nickname remains. In 2019, I completed my graduate degree from information systems management from Liberty University. If you're not familiar with the school, it is a Christian university in Lynchburg, Virginia, started by the Dr. Jerry Falwell Sr. in the 70s. It was one of the most challenging experiences I've ever completed. What makes the school unique is that you not only study at the same level of rigor you might at any other respected research institution, but the course of study also requires you to include a biblical narrative on the subject of every assignment. Providing scriptural reference to the importance of subjects such as Six Sigma and cybersecurity is not business as usual. However, if we all conducted our lives in this manner, we'd probably see things in a significantly different light. So where do you come into my story? I started attending RUMC in 2012. Initially, we were part of the Foundation Sunday School. When that floundered, Allison and I co-founded Cornerstone with another couple as we saw a gap that needed to be filled. I've said it to some of you privately already, but I'll say it again publicly. I've never been a part of a church where a group of men push each other to step up and grow in faith as I have experienced at RUMC. I can name all the names who have influenced me, prodded me to take the reins by leading a study or volunteering to lead a group at job networking and countless other activities. But we'd be here until lunch if I did list each of these people off by name. The ministries of this church are some of the finest and most impactful around, and it is in large part to your participation and desire to see others flourish in faith. It is again the primary focus of this men's ministry. This year, I have had the privilege of participating in the Radical Mentoring Program. Thank you, Eric and Bob. I must tell you through this experience, I'm hopeful that my walk through the wilderness is reaching the point of not just receiving the grace of Jesus, but also understanding it and his intention for me. I'd like to think that the culmination of my 40-year journey will result in a greater significance for everyone I come into contact with, just as many of you have done and continue to do for me. So today, as I close out, I have three questions for you to ponder. How can you be present to another man to see and hear him? Who planted seeds in your life, and who's planting seeds now? Thank you.
All right, so you got the three questions. What are the three questions, Kurt? I wrote them down and then I got up here.
How can you be present to another man to see and hear him? Who planted seeds in your life? Who's planting seeds now?
All right. So it's about planting and about your worth. Take 5 minutes at your table and discuss that, you know, the worth and how you know your worth and who's planting those seeds. And then we'll do a quick go round and I'll try and get Kevin on to pray at the end. Is that okay, Kevin? Yes. All right. And Dan McKay was the name of the youth pastor, I think. It's okay. It'll work.
Are we a group?
I suppose we are, as small as we are, but I think we're worth something. I could reflect on his, you know, on his previous marriage. I was married once before for 8 years, just shy of 8 years. And I really wondered what God had in mind. I was just thoroughly ticked off. You know, I said, what did I do wrong? You know, in retrospect, I probably worked too much, didn't pay her enough attention. But now married to Donna for 31 years, I think, you know, two kids that are grown and all that, and they're doing well. You never know. And she was in college. She worked with my mom in at Calvin College in the curriculum center, which is, you know, for teachers, that's where you end up. And who knew that those seeds were being planted way back when? That was back when I hadn't even thought about marriage yet. So you never know, man. It's just, it's kind of fun how things work out sometimes.
Yeah. About you, Kevin?
Yeah, so I think there are multiple things that certainly resonated with me in Kurt's message. And certainly I liked how he led off with Exodus and the 40 years and that timeline, and what that timeline is for many and all of us, and how we can relate that in our own journeys, in our self-reflection, in our opportunities to go share our faith with other men. I think I'm continuously on that and maybe continuously challenged, and especially, and how can I better be confident, have the courage in my workplace to share with others. I was actually inspired in my workplace where visiting a customer and they had a Bible on the table in the break room. So, I mean, what better conversation starter was that? And it was real, real exciting to be able to go have that discussion. So I try to be more of a plant those seeds and really have the confidence in my circles more with my kids in their sporting events and games. And I think most of the families in the sporting games that we're a part of recognize that my wife and I are we take our faith seriously, and we have discussions, and we can still have fun time and goof off and, you know, and have fun. But certainly I feel blessed for having the men in the men's breakfast at our church, and who have invited me, who have planted seeds in all my years and continue to plant seeds and help my spiritual growth journey.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
I met Norma, my wife, at Western Michigan. We were both students, and I met her in January of 1957. And in August of 1957, we got married. And her father was a Methodist minister, and he married us. And this year in August will be 66 years. And we have four kids, and we also added a Colombian girl to our family many years ago. She was about 20 years old, and now she's married and has two kids that are in college, and we consider them part of our family. As far as reaching out, we're involved in a couples group at the church that meets every 2 weeks, plus I'm in two men's groups.
Wow.
And I also have mentally what I call my most wanted list. And these are people that I pray for daily. And some of them I call by phone and keep in touch with, just to keep the relationship going. And so some of them are in this area or in other parts of the US. But anyway, my most wanted list is pretty important to me.
Yeah. That's really neat.
Yeah, and Bob Houskamp there and I have become friends. Our lake house in Michigan is what, probably about a 40-minute drive from his house in Grand Rapids, and we've gotten together. I guess it was last year or year before we got together for dinner, and really enjoyed meeting him and his wife. And so, Bob, you said she's going to be in Germany soon. Is that correct?
She's leaving this Saturday at 8 o'clock, and she'll be back July 1st.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we're headed up to the lake this Saturday.
Excellent. But
we'll be coming back the end of the month, end of June. So won't be able to see her, but maybe you can come over.
Yeah, just name the time and place. Am I one of your projects?
Well, you're a project. Yeah.
That's what my wife keeps telling me. No, it'll be good to catch up. If I get an address, I've got Google Maps, I can get there.
Yeah, I'll send it to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's really neat. Thanks for sharing that you guys connected there. That's awesome.
Otherwise, the commute to go visit David at his house is kind of a killer for me. It's about 11 and a half hours each way. That just kind of draws on me after a while.
Yeah, well, the first time we actually met in person was at a men's breakfast when you came down to the church, right?
It was that, and then I was staying with Cousin Jim, and you actually invited us over to your house for dinner. You had about 15 people or so there, and we all got together for dinner and had a good time, and it was very, very nice. I was very welcome there.
Yeah.
Our UMC services aren't that much different from ours, so I kind of feel at home when I'm there, so it works good.
They're good.
Uh-oh, the boss is back.
Hey, Kevin, can I go around the room and then I'll end up with you and you can talk about your table and pray?
Absolutely.
Okay. I don't have a ding, 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 so I'm just going to raise my voice. I'll be louder. I will not whistle. There's a wolf whistle in my wife's family. It's called Fifer, and you're allowed to stay. We're outlaws when you marry into my wife's family until you learn how to do the whistle. I won't do the whistle. It's very loud, but I knew I was accepted when I learned how to do the Fifer whistle. So we'll go around table by table, and then I'll end up with Kevin, and Kevin can pray us out. Steve, Chad, and Richard, do I have good? If I can remember two new names today, that's remarkable. What did you learn from your table?
I think we agree that the biggest way to support the fellow people, him, especially just to listen, tuning and listening. A lot of people don't need advice; they just need knowledge.
There's a video that has gone around before. It's called The Nail.
Yeah.
And it has to do with not trying to fix something, but listening to something. And so if you YouTube search The Nail, there's an excellent example of that. Yes. You will chuckle.
But then we're talking about planting seed and talking about men and our wives.
Yeah. A lot of seeds get planted. Mitchell, how about your table? Structure?
Early life, you know, you want to figure it out. You're not church attendant was the bonus for our family to church. If you figure it out, don't go to church in college. Figure it out. Age have a way of pleasing. Start out with your ear. God's name is great with it. Living in Atlanta and not liking it. Things work out. Fun in life of Jesus Christ. Didn't see it coming. Didn't see me going to Africa. Didn't see none of that. Story right here. These trucks go all the way right here. He's telling the truck at 8 years old. He was on Northbound College. He went to that car service. Still there.
It's amazing how those seeds get planted and your life can grow up around them. There's definitely a story in everybody's life. Thank you, sir. Stan? Nope. Richard, you're pointing it up.
I like your story.
Okay.
Well, it really speaks to my life, I guess, with Christianity. Growing up in Alabama, in a small town, Baptist church there, and the biggest influence on me was not the pastor, but the church secretary. Brought in the church event, even after I went off to college, he tracked me down and had a tall kid, so he made me come back and be in the Christmas pageant on the three wise men. And beautiful lady. I guess later on, I guess the current influence would be my first wife that struggled with cancer and died. And the hospital chaplain of all people. And it really helped her and me get through that. And we just went through the seminary over at Emory. One of the things I did to kind of pay him back was to buy him his first robe. But I didn't realize that was such a thing.
Oh, yeah.
The robe store to go, and he was trying on different robes.
Oh, my goodness.
And finally got one that he liked. Continued to wear them. Later, my current wife, and he married us in the chapel here, and we stayed very close to him. He moved all around Georgia, but big influence in our life.
That's amazing. You've had several people along the way that, you know, were guideposts.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's amazing. Thank you. Matt, your table?
We were split 50-50. Half of us were influenced by youth leaders and the other half by wives. In one half line.
Hopefully those are not the same person.
No.
There's three of you at the table, though, so if you're...
Well, last is here, and best to leave early.
Speaking of first wives, Roger.
I'll never forget this. We lived in New Member class, and they kicked in the class, and I always started it with introductions. I said, the first introduction I want to do today is I want you to meet my first wife. I still have that.
And I thought if, anyway, it was a sign that, you know, that marriages that worked at RUMC, the premise was, the reason we laugh about it is that Gail is still his first wife, but I had never heard anybody use that turn of phrase. And I was like, wow, talking about peace. Well, we celebrated Mother's Day this last month, and we've got Father's Day coming up this month. And so you hear about parenting in all of its different forms, right? It's not always biological. There's a faith parenting that goes on. And the more stories you seem to hear, there are people along the way who were absolutely God's eyes and ears and hands and feet in those key moments. And for you, it was Dan, what's his last name? McKay. And it's just, you never know when you're going to be one of those people. And so, you know, be on that lookout, because everybody needs somebody they can lean into, and everybody wants to feel like someone is embodying Jesus in their day-to-day walk, and we'll lean into them. And that's something we need as much as we need food, physical food. Kevin, how about your group? And I'm going to try and hold this down so that we can hear you again.
Yeah, so I learned that Bob and David have gotten together for a dinner evening up there up in the lake. So I thought that was pretty neat. You know, nonetheless, David's in a couple other men's groups. He's intentional about calling other men and connecting with them. Bob also shared in with some past and connecting with men, and again, similar church that he's attending, like RUMC. Over there up in Michigan. Let me go ahead and close this out in prayer. So if everyone just go ahead and bow their head. So Heavenly Father, you know, as we journey together in our walks of faith, let that be a time of preparedness, and give us the opportunity and courage, the confidence to go plant seeds in others, to have a heart and mind that's open in receiving those seeds, and really building faith, just as stated, you know, beyond traditional worship, out with others, and having the courage, confidence to go do that. In the summertime, Lord, give us travel mercies, safeties, as we go out on vacation. With school out, give us the patience with maybe kids and grandkids are home and out and about, and especially, you know, for our spouses that just do so much. Let's go from this place today, doing your will. In your name we pray together. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Have a great week, Kevin.
Thanks, David. You too.
Okay, Bob. Get in touch.
Thanks again, Eric.
Thank you.